in the past, emergency responders in the fire department or EMTs, emergency medical technicians, had to wait until the threat was neutralized in an active shooting incident. In other words, the police had killed or arrested the gunman. And the consequence of that, which we saw at the Pulse nightclub shooting, was that victims who were shot or wounded, they had to lie there and wait until everything was over before the EMTs could go in. These new standards, how will they change the actions of first responders?
Well, it's our hope that these standards will force first responder agencies to work together. The standard isn't a prevention document. It doesn't talk about assessing people's mental health or gun rights or gun prevention. What it does talk about is these are incidents that are occurring more frequently and more severely, and we need to be prepared as communities. And in doing so, we want our first responders to train together, to come up with tactics and policies, and to use those tactics and policies to access victims as quickly as possible.
So the big change would be that the paramedics would go in and try to save people before it's a completely secure situation.
Certainly, that's a goal. It's a goal for responders to access victims as quickly as possible. So you can say, okay, you know, the bad guy's in the back of the building. We have a wall set up between the bad guy and the good guys, and we can get in there and help everyone in the front of the building while we address the guy in the back of the building. That takes a lot of coordination, communication. It's not easy. And that's why you have to work together and practice this far in advance.
It sounds like part of the changes would be that paramedics and EMTs, perhaps they would be asked to wear special vests and protective uniforms.
The standard says if EMTs and paramedics that aren't law enforcement based and not part of a specialized team are going to go into these warm zones intentionally, the expectation is that they wear a level 3A National Institute of Justice rated vest. And that's a bare minimum. The technical committee that wrote the new standard, NFPA 3000, felt very strongly that they need to be provided some protection if they're going to be going into these zones. Similarly, like law enforcement wearing the vests as well. They also recommended helmets. They recommended other things as well, eye protection. But they needed to set that minimum because the understanding is that we're moving in that direction and that expectation across the country is shifting.
Has there been any pushback from paramedics and EMTs who say, you know, I didn't sign up for this. I thought I was going to be going to a person's home that was having a heart attack and saving their life. I never thought I would be going into some sort of active shooting hostile event like this.
Oh, I'm sure there is. And it makes a lot of sense. You know, day one in EMT school, the first lesson you learn is scene safety, body substance isolation. Scene safety means that you only go into secure scenes, and body substance isolation means that you protect yourself from bloodborne pathogens, wearing gloves and eye protection. You know, that's the first thing you learn as an EMT. And this is new and different, and certainly there's going to be complications with departments doing this around the country and ambulance services. For example, they're going to need to have very serious labor management discussions for those that are unionized. They may have scenarios in which it's a volunteer-based thing because they may state legislatively not be able to force them to do these things. As agencies do this, they need to be very careful and plan this out ahead of time, know what their policies and procedures are, know what's within their collective bargaining agreements, work all that out, and then immediately start implementing it.